All right, Judges chapter 16 tonight. Judges chapter 16. When you find your place at Judges 16, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Bible, the Word of God. And we'll begin reading in verse number 16. Judges chapter 16, verse number 16. It says, And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight, and I thank you once again for letting us be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for what all has been done tonight. Lord, for the prayers that were prayed before the service began, the time that we've been able to come and to pray together. Lord, I thank you for the good songs that have been sung, Lord, the old-time hymns, and Lord, how they stir our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the doctrine and the deep truth that is in them. Lord, I thank you for the giving that's been done. Thank you for the good fellowship. Lord, I just thank you for the day. It's been a good day so far. Lord, I thank you for the Lord's day and being able to set it aside, Lord, holy unto you, and give it to you and worship you. Lord, take the day of rest and to worship you. And Lord, I just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that it is, and all that you've done for us, all you did for us in the service this morning. Lord, I pray now for this time of preaching as we've come down to it. Lord, I pray that you would hide us behind the shadows of the cross. I pray, Lord, that you would have your perfect will and way in everything that is said. I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my lips. I pray that you'd set a watch over my mouth, that I not say anything that would be grieving to the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd be glorified. I pray that Jesus would be magnified and your people would be edified. May we see no man save Jesus only tonight, and I pray that we'd be helped and blessed May we be drawn closer to Thee. And Lord, may You do an eternal work in each heart tonight. And I'll thank You so much. We'll thank You and praise You so much for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The reality, or one of the realities of the Christian life, is the matter of chastisement. And it's not necessarily something that is pleasant to think about. It's really not even something that's pleasant to preach about, is the chastising hand of God. I'd love to preach glory all the time, wouldn't you? You'd love to hear glory messages. I'd love to preach glory messages. Amen. The fact is, the thing of chastisement is a fact, and it is a doctrine. It is a truth in the Word of God. You'll find in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 13 is one very familiar place where God talks about dealing with us as with sons. Now, it is painful, just like a child with a father, or a child with a mother, a child with a parent. It's painful to go through chastisement, but it is absolute proof of His love for us. If God did not chastise us, then He would not love us. And if He didn't love us, He wouldn't chastise us. If a father doesn't love his sons, the Bible, or if the father doesn't chastise his sons when his son does wrong, the Bible doesn't say that he loves his son. The Bible says he hates his son. A parent that will not chastise and correct and keep their child on the right path is not a parent that loves their child. It's a parent that hates their child. It's a parent that loves themselves and loves their own feelings and their own emotions and can't set all that stuff aside in order that they might correct their child. Because, I mean, it does hurt for a parent to correct your child, doesn't it? But if you love your child more than you love your feelings, you're willing to sacrifice and set all that aside, and set aside maybe the peace in the house for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You're willing to set all that aside and sacrifice to go ahead and chastise your child because it is what is right and it is what is best for them, and because you love them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 deals with us, again, how God deals with us as with sons, and how as a loving father, how He will reach out to us and chastise us when we do wrong. And so when we walk away from the Lord and His will, God will reach out to us and draw us back to Him. Amen. Over there in Revelation chapter 3, where He's dealing with those seven churches of Asia Minor, He said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Amen. And so it is His love for us that wouldn't let us get away with the little things that we try to get away with. Amen. He won't let us get away with the big stuff, but He's not going to let you get away with the little stuff either. Amen. When we get away from God, whether it's something big or something small, if we do something we shouldn't do or think a bad thought, there's going to be that check in our spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to convict us. He's going to deal with that thing. Amen. But if someone wholeheartedly just walks away from God's will, He's going to all along the way be reaching out and striving to pull that person back into His will. Amen. And many times what He will use is this thing of chastisement. Chastisement is what we see in the life of Samson. That's what we've just read. We have read a portion of Scripture that deals with the chastisement of God in the life of this man by the name of Samson. Probably everyone here is familiar with Samson in his life. He was a man of great potential, but he never reached that potential. Samson's name means distinguished and strong, but he was anything but distinguished and anything but strong. Amen. He was strong in muscles, but he was very weak in morals. Amen. And so Samson is a really sad story, really sad tale of somebody that could have done a lot for God, yet never reached the potential and never did all the things that God wanted him to do. Spirit of God came upon Samson time after time, but Samson didn't walk in the power of the Spirit day by day. Amen. Listen, it's one thing for the Spirit to come upon him time to time, but it's another thing to walk in the Spirit day by day. Amen. And that's where Samson failed, was walking in the daily life, walking in the Spirit-filled life. Amen. Day by day. And his rebellion and his sin ultimately led him to a prison house of chastisement. That's what we find here. And that's where we're going to go tonight. We are going to go to that prison that Samson is in, and we're going to look at the prison of purification. The prison of purification. Wednesday night started or preached a message, and possibly a series of messages that I'm going to maybe preach if God will let us do it, on the prison experiences in the Bible. If you were here Wednesday night, you were here and you remember us preaching on the prison of promotion, where Joseph, one of the greatest men in the Bible, was led into prison after prison and hard time after hard time. Yet God used every one of them to not punish him, but to promote him. Amen? To make him the man he was going to be, and to move him to the place and to the position that God wanted him to be in. Amen. And so thank God for those prisons in our life. Thank God for the prisons of promotion, the valleys and the dark times that we don't understand at the time, and we don't know what God's doing. But if we'll just trust God and just lean into him in those days, we'll find down the road the promotion that has come from those deep valleys and those prison experiences. Amen. But there's a different kind of prison that we can also face as well. And Samson faced it here. It's not the prison of promotion. It's the prison of purification. The prison of purification is very difficult to go through. But again, it is very needful to go through. And it is very helpful to go through. And it's a blessing to go through. Because again, it proves God's love for us. If God didn't love us, He'd never put us in this prison. Wouldn't we do wrong? By the way, that's the only way you wind up in this prison, is when you do wrong. When you have to be chastised. Whenever you're walking away from God. When you've walked out, stepped out of His will. Tonight, we're going to take a trip with Samson to the prison of purification. See what it looks like when a child of God walks away from God and has to go to the prison of purification. First of all, in Samson's life, we see the road to this prison. It's a road that never had to be traveled in his life. You understand that? You look at Samson's life. He had good parents. He had a good background. He had a good family history. He had a good God. Amen. He had a lot of good things on his side. He was raised up and blessed and anointed by God. And he never had to go down the road that led to the prison of purification. Yet he walked down this road. It's a road of disobedience, friend. See, Samson was a Nazarite. Whenever his birth was announced to his parents, they said that he shall be a Nazarite. Without getting into all of the details of what a Nazarite is, a Nazarite biblically basically is someone that is set apart for the Lord. They're just set apart for, I mean, among all of God's other people, they're simply set apart even among those people. I mean, even in the 12 disciples, you had the inner circle, didn't you? Amen? And they weren't Nazarites, but you always find those that are just set apart. They're just particularly gifted, particularly blessed. And it's just obvious that God wants to use this person. Amen? That's how it would be in our day. But in Samson's day, under that Old Testament law, he took the vow of a Nazarite. Three of the main things that Nazarites were supposed to abide by was they were to never cut their hair. Nazarites weren't to drink wine, strong drink, or eat anything from the vine. They were to avoid all contact with dead bodies. Now, I don't have time to go into each one of those, but Samson broke nearly every one of the Nazarite vows. Nearly every one of them he broke. He didn't obey hardly anything his mama taught him. Didn't do hardly anything he was supposed to do. Samson always did what he wanted to do, friend. It was a road of disobedience. If you go back and read his life, it was one disobedient act after another in Samson's life. He just simply wanted to do what he wanted to do. And he disobeyed everything God said to do. Everything his parents said to do. Everything everyone around him told him to do. It was a road of disappointment. Not just a road of disobedience. I'm talking about the road to the prison of purification. It is a road of disobedience. It is a road of disappointments. Now, it was apparent that as you read through Samson's life, you'll find it's pretty obvious Samson was a spoiled brat. He was a spoiled brat. Now, he had good parents. He had a good life, had a good history, good background. All these things. He had so much potential, but he was such a spoiled brat that he was a big disappointment for the nation, and probably in the eyes of God and in his parents' lives, he's a disappointment. He never became all that he could have. Can I tell you that anyone that travels the road that Samson is on, the road, the prison of purification, it'll always be filled with disobedience. You'll find young people that have been raised up in church with good parents and good backgrounds and good histories, but if they will not obey what God says, if they won't obey what the Word of God says, what the preacher preaches, and what mom and dad has taught them, it will follow that road of disobedience. They'll wind up walking the road of disappointment. Amen? I've seen a lot of them that God's blessed and God's helped put them in good churches and give them good background and give them good parents and give them all the things that they need to serve God, which, by the way, all of us have got that, by the way. We've all got everything we need to serve God, and wind up a big disappointment because they've never reached the potential that God wanted them to reach. A road of disappointment. The road to the prison of purification is a road of depravity. As you look at Samson's life, it's pretty obvious you'll find that he had a bad case of what we'd call female trouble. Amen. He had female trouble. Samson liked the ladies. Amen. And that was his downfall. Samson is one of three men that I always put together. You've got David, Samson, and Solomon. You've got wisdom, strength, and spirituality. Solomon's wisdom, wisest man that ever lived. Samson is strength, strongest man that ever lived. David is spirituality, arguably the most spiritual man that ever lived. And one thing they all have in common, they had problem with women. They all struggled with women. Samson had female problems. He married outside of the nation of Israel. You'll find that in Judges 14, verse 1, and broke his parents' heart. Did that against their... They begged him not to do that, but he did it anyways. He even sought out a harlot in Judges chapter 16, verse 1. And in the end, it was a woman, or it was women trouble, that destroyed him at the end of his life. It was women trouble. Now, in spite of Samson's physical prowess, he was powerless against his flesh in regards to women. Now, all men in this day especially got to watch out for that. Amen? I'm saying we're in a more hypersexualized society and generation than we've ever been. Amen? And the devil is certainly out to attack in that area. He attacked the first man in that area. He couldn't get Adam face to face, so he got him through his wife. Amen? And he knows where the soft spot is. And so, men, we've all got to watch out for that. You got to be careful. You got to be on guard. And that's always something with me and my family, me and my home. There's always things that we're looking at and analyzing, making sure we're on guard with that stuff. Because I'm telling you, one mess up will ruin you. One mess up will take everything you've got, friend. One moment of pleasure will take it all, man. And not only men, but listen, ladies too, we've all got to watch out for the things that the devil has for us. Amen? Because let me tell you, the road to the prison of purification, the road to chastisement, it is a road of depravity, friend. And you don't have to be, just way out in the depraved nature. I'm telling you, your depraved nature is following you everywhere you go. Amen? We'd say the ones out strung out on drugs, the ones out mixed up in sodomy, we'd say they're depraved, right? We'd say you don't have to be that far out to have your depraved nature after you all the time. Your flesh is not saved yet. Amen? And it's going to follow you everywhere you go. We'll never reach a spiritual plane that will get over our flesh. We'll get past these struggles where sin won't bother us anymore. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that, because the closer to the Lord we get, the more we need His power to overcome our flesh. The more perfect we get, the more imperfect we see that we are. Amen. The harder it's going to get, the closer we get to the Lord, and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, friend. And so it is a road of depravity. If you allow your flesh to control you, you'll wind up in the prison of purification. You will wind up there, friend. It was a road of death. Not just depravity, but a road of death. You follow Samson's life, and I don't have time to get into all the details of all this. You can go back and read it yourself. But if you follow Samson's life, he left a pile of dead bodies in his wake everywhere he went. He's like the Clintons, man. Everywhere he goes, somebody dies. Amen? Except he was killing them. They weren't killing themselves, you know. By the way, Epstein didn't kill himself. I'm going to just throw that in. Everywhere he goes, man, there is a pile of dead bodies in his wake as you follow Samson's life. Now, it's true that he killed many of the Philistines, the enemies of God. That is true. And no doubt the nation was looking at Samson as the hero. Like, this is the guy that's going to do it for us, man. He's overcoming God's enemies, you know, and he's going to get us on top. That Samson is the man. And so it's true that he was killing many of the Philistines. But you know, as you look at his life, you'll find that most of the time, he wasn't doing it to free Israel. He was doing it to promote Samson. He was doing it because of what he wanted. He didn't really care so much about the nation of Israel. He didn't even care about what God wanted. Most of the time, he was doing it to promote Samson. Matter of fact, at one point in his life, he killed 30 men just to settle a debt. You can find that in chapter 14, verse 19. Killed 30 guys just to settle a debt. I mean, everywhere you go, you'll find that where Samson went, if he didn't get his way, he's about to, you know, heads were going to roll. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Samson, it was always death. What I said all that to say this is that Samson only cared about Samson. He didn't care who he had to hurt to get his way. He didn't care whose life he had to mess up to get his way. He didn't care, he didn't care anything about it. He only cared about Samson. And I'm telling you that the road to the prison of purification is a road of death. The devil gets you to the place, your flesh gets you to the place where you don't care who you hurt. And you don't care that it's breaking your mom and your daddy's heart. And you don't care that it's hurting the church. And you don't care that it's messing up your testimony. And you don't care what it's affecting or who it's affecting. You just want what you want. And the devil will put his blinders on you. And you can only see what out's front. You can't see what and who all you're hurting around you. It's a road of death. And then it was a road of disasters. Samson's life was one disaster after another. You go back and read it. Broken-hearted parents, humiliated family, his wife was given to another man. Just one disaster after another. With a man that is so gifted and so blessed of God and anointed of God. All those things are terrible, but there's not even the worst of it. The worst of it is the fact that the name of God and the testimony of Israel is damaged before the heathen. We see that right here in the passage we just read. Oh boy, they're rejoicing and they're throwing a party because their God, Dagon, has delivered Samson into his hands. Well, let me ask you, did Dagon deliver Samson in their hands? No, Samson delivered Samson into their hands. He did it to himself. He chose his own path. And so he wound up delivering himself into their hands. But they're all rejoicing, thinking their God has done this for him. And what he's done is given the enemies of God an occasion to blaspheme. An occasion to exalt their God and themselves over the God of heaven. Amen. Can I tell you that the road to the prison of purification is a road of disaster. It'll be one disaster after another, and I've seen it with my own eyes, friend. And by the grace of God, I'd be there. Amen. But I've seen it with my own eyes where people come up in good churches and they're settled in good churches and good places, and they make up their mind on what they want to do and don't listen to anybody or anything and go their way, and it's one disaster after another. Their home splits up, their home's messed up, their kids are off in the world, it's one thing after another, and worst of all, it gives the enemies of God an occasion to blaspheme because they'll air their life out on social media and everybody else, and the whole world is looking at them and saying, see, there ain't nothing in that God stuff. There's nothing in old time religion. Oh yeah, them preachers, them old independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptists, they preach like they do and they won't compromise on anything. But look, there ain't nothing in it. None of those people do anything he says. None of those people live the way that those preachers preach and the way the Bible says do it. That's the worst of all. I ain't said this in a while, so I'll go ahead and say it while I'm here. We all need to realize and be reminded that everything we do outside the four walls of this church, it affects the testimony of this church. Amen. And it's going to be a hot day at the judgment for some when they have to stand before God and give an account for the way they lived and the way it affected the testimony of the work of God in this area, right here, this church where He's planted, and have to give an account for the reason that the church didn't have any more power than what it's had because it wasn't as pure as it should have been based on the way some lived. I'm not talking about anybody specifically. I've not got anybody in mind when I say that. Lord just told me to say it, so there it is. Amen. I'm saying we got to be reminded of this stuff because everything we do affects the testimony of the church. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll give the enemies of God an occasion to blaspheme. That's what happened right here. They were saying, see, that Jehovah that Israel worships, Dagon's bigger than him. Dagon has given us that hero. The Israel boy, they really thought they had something with Samson. They really thought their God was doing something with this Samson guy, but Dagon has delivered him to our hands. Amen. I wonder how many of the world's gods, how many of the world's gods are propped up in their mind and in their heart based on what they see in God's people. Amen. Amen. Now, I've not got time to park here, and I need to just move on because I'm taking too much time as it is. But I'm just trying to tell you what God's told me to tell you. And so all of our society, we know all the idols out there. We know all the god of entertainment, and all the idols of career and money and job. We don't have to preach or rehash all that to you, but I wonder how much of all that stuff, how many of those gods and idols are propped up in people's lives, in the world's lives, because they see us bowing to some of them. They see those same gods delivering some of God's people into their hands, so to speak. Amen. Ain't that right? Boy, I mean, people talk about how the past year and a half, it's all been about how important and how essential church is. But it's clearly not very essential when people will miss it to go to watch NASCAR. And it's clearly not very essential when people will miss it to go to the ball games. And it's clearly not very essential when people will miss it to make an extra dollar on the Lord's Day. It's clearly not very essential whenever people will find any reason to not show up. Amen. And by the way, can't even be on time. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. I wonder how much of the world is looking and saying, yeah, well, see, this is our God. We got the God of football. We got the God of work. We worship the God of God. This is what our life is devoted to. And our God has delivered the people of God into our hands. Because they're not in church. They're over here. I'm saying it's a road of disaster. And friend, that is a disaster. By the way, all those same things, all those idols will lead to the same disasters that led to in Samson's life. Messed up his home, broke his parents' heart, messed up his testimony. It'll lead to all the same things. One disaster after another. See, Samson suffered what he did at the end. This passage that we just read, Samson suffered all that in the end because of how he lived his life. He walked the road to the prison of purification. So we see the road to the prison. Next, we see the realities of the prison. If you look with me in chapter 16, verse 4. In chapter 16, verse 4, I'm not going to read all these. It says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means he may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him, that we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as every other man, or be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which she had not dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in her chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touched the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou mockest me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. If you read down through there, you'll find that he continued to tell her different things that were not the thing. He never told her exactly where this strength was. If you look down in verse number 20, after several times going through this, it says, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee." In verse 20, Samson, "And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself, and wist not that the Lord had departed from him." So Delilah's here and she's telling him, "Samson, tell me the source of your strength." And she's batting her eyelashes, you know. "Samson, tell me the source of your strength." And she's giving him those googly eyes. And she's playing the emotion card. Like, "If you really love me, you'll tell me." You know. On and on and on she goes. And Samson loves riddles. You'll find that in his life. He loves riddles. And he keeps telling her all these different things, and none of them are where his strength actually lies. He tells her that it's in these green withes, you know, that have never been dried, and that's not it. And so she's all upset at him. "Samson, if you really love me, I can't believe you lied to me," you know. On and on she goes, and day after day. Samson was a real dense guy, man. Let me tell you, he's a real dummy. Why would he ever tell her where his strength really lied? Everything he tells her, that's what she goes and does. Everything. Her brother Alfred will say one time, "Sin will take you beyond good sense." Tell you what, the devil gets you in the right spot. The devil get the right woman in your life. The devil get the right boy in your life, Kaylee and Kelby. The devil get the right person or the right thing in your life, and you'll do, for lack of a better term, some really stupid stuff. You'll make some really stupid decisions. Amen? Boy, Samson did. This was a mess. So the realities of this prison. First of all, it was a place of losing. Talking about the reality of this prison. The reality, whenever you make your way down this road and you wind up in the prison of purification, you're going to find your place. You're going to find your reality is a reality of losing. A place of losing. That's what we just find here in Samson's life. He's got his strength, and he's got his pet sin. He's flirting with sin, and he seems like he's got everything under control. It seems like he's got everything, but it wasn't long before he didn't have all of it anymore. It's got him now. We find in verse number 20 that he's so caught up in himself and so caught up in the moment and so self-centered that he can't even sense the presence of God anymore. He doesn't even know. The Bible says that he got up and he's so full of himself. He says, he's so full of pride. "I'm just going to get up and shake myself. I'll do it as I've always done it before." He's not calling on God. He's not asking for help. He's not saying, "Oh God, I need you." He just says, "I'll do it like I've always done it." And the Bible said he did not even know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Well, that's where you'll get. That's where the devil gets places. That gets people. That's where your flesh will get you, where you don't know right from wrong anymore. You don't know your left hand from your right hand anymore. You don't know which is up and which is down. All you know is you want what you want. And you're losing more than you realize you're losing. See, Samson threw everything away to please a woman and to please himself. And a lot of people have thrown a lot away to please, a lot of men have thrown a lot away to please a woman. But there's been a lot of people that's thrown a lot away just to please other people, period. There's been a lot of preachers that have thrown a lot away in these past days to please people. Not necessarily a woman, not necessarily someone that they ran out with, but for the sake of losing somebody, and for the sake of keeping a big ministry, and for the sake of keeping the paycheck, and for the sake of keeping their future and their retirement, they've thrown a lot away for the sake of keeping all of it and pleasing somebody else. Amen. Listen, God help us if we ever get into the people-pleasing business. Amen. I want to keep walking the old-time way as long as I'm in this thing with a King James Bible in my hand and the joy of the Lord in my heart, and I want to always be able to pillow my head at night knowing that I pleased Him. Amen. Because that is all that matters. It's all that matters. We talked this morning about how the pleasing of people. People being pleased with that comes and that goes, man. But if you please the Lord, that's all that matters in your life. Amen? He threw it all away to please somebody else, to please a woman, and to please himself. And he lost a lot. He didn't even realize how much he lost at the time. First of all, he forfeited his fellowship. Look in verse 20 again. It says, "And he said to the Philistines, be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." It's a place of losing. He lost his fellowship. He forfeited his fellowship with God. No longer is he walking with God. No longer has he got the power of God. No longer is the Spirit coming upon him when he needs it. He doesn't have fellowship anymore. He forfeited his faculties. The Bible says in verse 21, they put out his eyes. See, Samson lost his vision. You can't see if you ain't got eyes. They put out his eyes. He lost his vision. Now, he lost his vision spiritually or physically here, but he also lost his vision spiritually. Amen? I tell you, the devil in your flesh gets you to a place where you don't have any spiritual vision anymore. You just can't see it the way you used to see it. Amen? He forfeited his freedom. He was bound in this new condition. We see that. They bound him. He could no longer go in and out, do whatever he pleased anymore. He was bound in the condition that he was in. I'm telling you, that is exactly what sin will do. If you wind up walking down the road of this prison, he got bound in this prison. I'll tell you something. I've seen people get in situations so terrible and get in holes so deep, just like Sam, needless holes, going down a road they didn't have to go down, but they wind up going that road anyways because it's what they want to do, and they wind up getting in situations that are so terrible that outside of a divine miracle of God, there is no way out of it. They are bound by it. Now, we know God can work miracles and God can step in. He can turn hearts and change hearts and do all that. We know God can do it. But I'm simply saying, I've seen people get themselves in such a mess, just like Samson, that they were in a prison they could not get out of. There's no way out. They're in too deep. The place of losing. It was a place of laboring. This prison that Samson wound up in because of his choices and because of his sin is a place of blinding, it's a place of binding, it's a place of grinding. That's all he did from that point on was labor and grind, spinning his wheels, going in circles, and getting nothing really done. Amen? That's where the road will lead. He was born to liberate. He was born to be a liberator. He was born to be the liberator of the nation of Israel. But instead, he's blinded and he's bound and he's grinding for the enemy because of his choices. I'm telling you, that's where you'll wind up if you're not careful. That's the prison of purification. That's the road where it leads to. They say, I've read that grinding in these days was actually considered woman's work. Adding insult and humiliation to what he was doing. To have the man, Samson, grinding, doing what would be considered in this day a woman's job. In our day, it'd be like, you know, I don't know, sewing or something. I don't know. Whatever you women do, I don't know what y'all do. Whatever y'all do. Folding clothes. That's all Samson, that's what Samson was doing. They were humiliating him with this. This big, tough man who's picked up the gates of a city at one time in his life and slew all these men with the jawbone of an ass and lit all those foxes' tails on fire. Done all these things, and now he's humiliated. He's binded and he's blinded and he's grinding. It's a place of laboring. It's a place of lingering. Verse 22 said he was there for so long that his hair began to grow long again. Began to grow out again. Now, he served long enough for his hair to start growing out. That's how long he was down there. Now, we don't know how long it was. But I did read this and I thought it was interesting, so I'll give it to you. I read that hair grows at an average rate of about 1/8 inch per week. So we don't know how long his hair got again, but the Bible said his hair did grow long. In other words, it was probably many months that he was doing this. Likely, possibly. I don't know how long it was. I don't know if it was quick and over. But all I'm saying is that it's likely that he was in a place of lingering. He didn't get out when he wanted to get out. Amen. Can I tell you that no one walks into sin expecting to stay? No one walks this road expecting to be there long. Nobody stays with sin and stays in the hog pen as long as they mean to stay. But as the old preachers used to say, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay, amen? And sin will do that to you, friend. He had to linger there a whole lot longer than he planned to. When he laid his head in Delilah's lap that evening, he never expected to wind up where he wound up at and be in there as long as he was there. The road to this prison. But last of all, in the prison of purification, we see the restoration in this prison in Samson's life. First of all, the path to restoration. You find here at the end of the passage, the Bible says that Samson called on the Lord. In the language that Samson is using here as he's calling on the Lord in verse 28, Samson called on the Lord and said, "Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once. Oh God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." The language that he's using there, he's using those words. If you remember us preaching through all the names of God, he's using those names like Jehovah, names like Adonai, and names like Elohim. He's calling on the God of Israel, something he hasn't done in a long time. It reveals a heart that's finally been turned back to God after being away for so long. See, the truth is, God does not enjoy putting Samson in this prison here. God does not find pleasure in the Philistines putting out his eyes. And God doesn't find pleasure in this man of strength being led around by a little boy. By the way, there's a whole message in that right there. Heard a man talk about preaching a message on holding a hero's hand. You think about this little boy who's probably heard about Samson and heard about the strength of Samson and heard about all the things that Samson has done. And now here he is. He's holding his hand. The Bible says he was a lad, a little boy, leading around. And here's Samson, you know. He's holding his hand. And this is probably a hero in his eyes. Someone who he's heard about, this strong man that's done great strength. And now he's leading him around and looking up at Samson and just thinking, wow, this is Samson. Tell you something, whenever a man of strength in the things of God falls, listen, it don't affect just you. Amen. It don't affect just us. Amen. You're a hero in somebody's eyes. Whether you realize it or not, you're somebody's hero. And if the devil gets hold of you and puts out your eyes and takes your vision and gets you bound, gets you grinding, gets you down where Sam's in this prison, well, there's going to be that lad holding your hand, seeing where you're at now, remembering what you used to be. But God has no pleasure in that. God has no pleasure in seeing all this potential go to waste. He has no pleasure in seeing Samson in such a low spot in his life. Yet God has allowed Samson to go through all that he's going through. First of all, because Samson made the decisions, but also to get Samson to a place that he would get broken down, where his heart would get broken, and he'd call on God again. He'd call on him. It's all about restoring him. It's all about restoration. I tell you that whenever I preach this stuff and I think about the ones that have gone through, I don't have pleasure in using situations as illustrations. I wish I had no examples, no illustrations, no stories to tell. I wish I had nobody that I've ever seen go this way. I wish that was the case, but it is a fact that it does happen to people, and God doesn't do it with pleasure, and I don't preach it with pleasure, and any man of God who loves the Lord doesn't do it with pleasure. But the fact is, it's not done with pleasure, but it is done that people might be restored. You know, I think some of the most damaging thing that we can do to family members and like kids and things like that, I think sometimes one of the most damaging things we can do is bail them out of all this stuff. Bail them out every time. I mean, you don't ever see the father sending any money to the far country when the prodigal son was there. He went, his door was open. And God let Samson get down to the very end of his road, the very bottom of his barrel, so that Samson would finally get broken down enough that he'd finally call on God again. He let him get to the place where he had nobody and nothing. See, as long as he was relying on his strength, he didn't need God. He needed it more than he realized. But in his eyes, he's got his strength. God's always given me my strength. And he didn't need God. Well, God let that strength go and let him get down to the end of the road, and he had to call on God. And that's what God's doing. It's the restoration. That's what it's all about. It's all about restoration. The path starts with Samson calling on the Lord, revealing that his heart is finally broken down and he's finally calling on the Lord again. But then the proof of this restoration is that God answered. Amen. Samson didn't just call, but God answered. You know, that's the proof of a broken heart is not how it looks on the outside, not how big the tears are, and not how long they stay at the altar, and not the way the emotions are. That's not the proof of restoration. The proof is, does God answer? Did God answer? The person that cries out to God for deliverance from drugs, the proof is not how much they cry and how long they pray. The proof is, does God answer and deliver them? Amen. That's the proof. The proof to the drunk, of the drunk, if that cries out to God, God, deliver me from this sin. The proof is not how long they pray and how long they cried and how loud they shout and how loud they call. The proof is, does God answer or not? See, it can look to us on the outside like, oh man, they're real and they're serious and they really want to do right. But then you never see them again. Well, sounds like God didn't answer. Sounds like there was something down in their heart that wasn't totally broken yet. Because if somebody calls on God from the heart, and they're not keeping back anything on God, and they're giving Him all of themselves, God will answer. He will answer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These folks that say they called on the name of the Lord and they prayed and they got baptized and all these things and say they got saved, but then you never see them living for God. You see them out in the world. Well, I'll tell you, the problem is God didn't answer their call. You say, well, God ignored them. They called and He didn't answer. Oh, no. They called, but they didn't call with their whole heart like Samson did. They weren't as broken as Samson was. There's something down in their soul they're still hanging on to, just like the rich young ruler. He was calling on the Lord. He was coming to Jesus. By as far as everybody's opinion on the outside, they'd say, boy, he's coming to Jesus. Isn't that what we say to people? Say about people? Oh, boy, yeah, they've lived a rough life, but boy, he's coming to Jesus now. That's what the rich young ruler was doing. He was coming to Jesus. He had physically come to Him and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How many people have come down the aisle of a church when a preacher said, come? Well, how many people have come forward when the preacher said, come to Jesus at the end of a service? And they came down and they called, and just like the rich young ruler, they said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But they found out that Jesus wants something they're not willing to give up. And they may cry and they may pray and all those things, but they go out the same as they came because God didn't answer. Just like that crowd, I think it was in Capernaum, I believe it was, whenever the Bible says that Jesus did not, he did not commit Himself to them because He knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. And it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. God knows what's on the inside. And the proof is not in somebody calling. The proof is in God answering. We know with full assurance that Samson was right with God again because God answered him. When he called, God answered. And the last act of Samson's life was the only selfless act that he ever did. Everything else in his life he did with Samson in mind. But this last act he did with God in mind. He said, God, I want to be avenged. But he wanted to be avenged for God. He wanted to be avenged for the Lord's sake. He said, for my two eyes, but he was wanting to do it for the Lord. He was wanting to prove God mighty again. And it was the only selfless thing Samson ever did. And it proved that his heart had sincerely changed. But then last of all, the pain of his restoration. Samson was restored. And restoration took place in his life, but it was only partial in his life. See, he got vengeance on the Philistines, but he still died. He died blinded, he died bound, and he died broken. Oh yeah, he got vengeance. And he was restored with God, and he got his power back. But he died with no eyes. And he died bound between those pillars. And he died with no testimony. He died a broken man. See, no amount of repentance could ever make things like they were before in Samson's life. No amount of repentance, no amount of getting right with God could ever turn back the clock and Samson get back all that he used to have. Could never do it. Now I say praise God for the prison of purification where God will purify and God will restore. Praise God for men like David whenever he calls on God and says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And thank God he will give the joy of salvation back. If we get right, God will restore the joy. God will restore the peace. He'll restore his presence. We can get his fellowship back and we can walk with God back. But not in Samson's life and not in David's life were things ever the same as they were before. And if we ever have to wind, if God ever has to take us down the road, if we walk the road of disobedience and walk the road that Samson walked to where God has to put us down in the prison of purification, He will purify and He will restore, but it cannot make things like they used to be. There will just simply be things you'll never get back. So I said all that to say this, don't go down that road. Just don't go down that road. That's why we preach this to young people. That's why we talk about marrying in the will of God. That's why we talk about staying in the church and staying right with God. That's why we talk about turning your heart towards God and giving Him the best years of your life. That's why we talk about being sensitive and sincere and cutting ties with the world and giving God everything you've got and pouring in wholeheartedly everything you've got. Because if you walk down the road that some of your friends are walking down, you walk down the road some of your classmates are walking down, it may look fun right now. And it may look like they've got a lot more than you've got right now, but they'll wind up in a prison and they'll be blind and they'll be bound. They'll be grinded. They'll never be able to get back some of the things that you've got right now. And you'll lose those same things too. Listen, you ever lose your purity? You can't ever get it back. That's what I tell young people. When I preach to young people, that's what I tell them. And I'm hung up here, but I'm quitting, I promise. That's what I tell young people all the time. We've got some here, so that's why I'm preaching it. Whenever the world starts coming to you and whenever all these wicked heathen kids in the public schools and all around you start making fun and cracking jokes about being a virgin and things like that, listen, you can be like them anytime you want, but they can never be like you again. Anytime the world comes and they're promoting their tattoos and all that stuff and making out so cool and making you out to be such a loser because you don't have that stuff. Listen, you can be like them anytime you want to be, but they can never be like you again. They can never have a clean slate again. Listen, I went through all that stuff. To this day, by the grace of God, I am not promoting myself. I am not boasting. I am praising God for this. To this day, I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted alcohol. I never had tobacco in my mouth. I've never done any drugs. That is the grace of God. I say praise God. But you know, we live in such a wicked world that people make it out like you know, you're the loser for being that way, for never experiencing that stuff. Let me tell you, someone that way, me or anybody else, can always be like them. They can never be like me. Amen. And I've not been pure in everything. I've not been right in everything. But there's definitely some things that I praise the Lord that He kept me from. Things that I don't have to worry about losing that I can't ever get back. I thank God that my wife is that way. I thank God that she kept herself pure and that she walked a pure road and had good parents. Was she perfect? No. I mean, yes, honey. I meant yes. Listen, none of us are perfect. But the fact is, Samson lost a lot that he'll never get back. So the best thing any of us could ever do is never walk down this road, young and old. Son, I've seen some older people throwing away a lot in these last days. Don't walk down the road. Samson will always be remembered as the weak, strong man. Strong in his muscles, weak in his morals. And it cost him dearly. I wonder tonight, where does this message find you? Do you need to come home? Have you started down this road, but you're not all the way there? You can come home. And do you need to? Have you started? Are you lingering in some areas and lingering in some places and lingering with some people that you know you really don't need to, where you don't need to linger? Do you need to pray about some dangers and some signs in your life? I don't know what it may be, but I do know God put this message on my heart. I do know God told me to preach it. I know God told me to preach this series or kind of gave me some of this series. I don't know if I'll preach all of it, but I do know He told me to preach this message tonight. And I don't know where any one person might be. But the question is, where does the message find you? You don't have to go down the road Samson is on. You can turn and come back and not have to go through the prison of purification. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for helping us with the message tonight. I pray that you'll take it and use it. I pray that you'll bless it. I pray, Lord, that if there be any among us, Lord, that would be heading down a road that is going to ultimately lead to this prison. Lord, to ultimately lead to destruction, lead to all these things that we see in Samson's life. Lord, I pray that they turn and come home tonight. I pray they'd find themselves an old-fashioned altar and they'd lay it on the altar and get their heart right with you. Lord, that they could be greatly used. They don't have to face, not have to go through, Lord, not seeing the unfulfilled potential in their life that Samson had to see. Lord, they could be used mightily of you. Lord, I pray for our young people, Lord, our young ladies here, Lord, the young people in our church. Lord, you keep them pure. You bless them. Lord, in these, Lord, difficult days, and Lord, in these, Lord, these crossroad times in their life, Lord, where they've got so many pulls and pressures. Lord, I pray that you just protect them. Pray that you'd help them. I pray, Lord, you'd protect them from wrong friends and wrong relationships. I pray, Lord, they'd sell out and serve you all the days of their life. But, Lord, I pray that for all of us here. I pray that you'd help us all get to a place of full surrender. We'd sell out, serve you with what we've got. We'd not have to walk down this road, not have to wind up in the prison of purification. Bless us now. Bless in the altar call. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.